Have you ever considered the impact that the choices that you've made in your life, the things that you have created, how it has prospered you and prospered everybody around you? Have you ever reflected on that? The things that you, maybe projects you have created, or art that you have created, or music that you have created, harmonies that you have combined with people, and cooperative, collaborative things you have done that never before had those collaborations come together. When you find your beloved, never before has that third entity of love been created until you find each other, or your friends, or your family members, and what is created there. Have you ever thought about that? That how you give prosperity out into the world in so many ways, in so many ways. And when we choose to withhold it, what we leave, the empty space, the void that is left in the universe, when we withhold that which is ours to give, when we withhold those creations. Maybe you've even created and raised human beings. That's quite a contribution to the world, isn't it? And then they turn out. That's even greater, but you know, you have no control over that, really. Maybe it's pets, you know, that you have loved and allowed to love you and allowed to come into your heart in ways that you never thought you might, and have opened your heart in ways that you never thought were possible. Whatever that is for you to recognize that you are constantly giving prosperous gifts out into the world, that you are a part of that constant flow of the law of circulation and prosperity of giving and receiving, right? That you are in that infinite loop. Charlene touched so many of our hearts, right? She impacted so many of our lives. Even if you never met her, you're here. So you have come into this space. You have come into a place that is beautiful, that is, you know, that has been taken care of by somebody who had such pride in this place, such devotion for her work, such connection to this community for so long, holding that kind of space, that kind of devoted energy. I told her family last night that, you know, technically I was her boss, but I called her boss. When I said that, they said, "Who doesn't?" So if you know her, you know about that mighty force of energy that she was and is still with us right now, right? Right now in this space. I can see her sitting right there in her spot. And bless all of you who are online, who are with us in this energy, who are with us in our message today, who are with us in your contributions to the prosperity of the world, the healing of the world. There were many projects over the years here. There was a major facelift and transformation that happened to our property in 2010. And guess who got to steward all the changes that happened there? Our facilities manager, Charlene. Yeah. Coming out of the pandemic, going into the pandemic, all the changes that happened there, the things that had to be, you know, quieted down and then opened back up. She was a key proponent of all of that. And so now we bless her. Now we get our chance to give back, to bless her on this journey, to know that her soul has made a choice, maybe not the one we wanted, but has made a choice and opens her up into a whole nother realm of giving. As Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder, said, "I'm leaving because I can do more on the other side." She was very conscious of her death, even though she was healthy. She walked around and said goodbye to everybody at Unity Village not long before her death because she knew that she could do her work better on the other side at that point in her life. So it's that kind of, right? That's the stock we come from, I like to say. So grief, know that grief is love, right? Grief is just love in expression. And love is prosperous, right? Love is an expression of prosperity. So it's never limited by form. So as we continue on our prosperity series, we remember last week we laid that foundation of faith, right? So that we could raise up our house of prosperity one pillar at a time. And today we do that first one, vision, that first pillar that springs forth from the base of faith. and it's solid. And the more solid our faith is, the easier it is for us to step toward our vision, and the clearer sometimes the vision gets for us, right? So this all works together. We open up that power of imagination, one of the 12 powers of humankind in Unity's teachings, that rests here, right, on what I like to call the first eye, but many call the third eye, right? It's a seeing beyond the physical eyes. It's a seeing into that kind of visionary possibility, into that horizon of hope or whatever else might be on that horizon. It's sort of that thing that we are stepping into a future that could be as quick as now and now, right? It's not necessarily 10 years down the road, but it's a moving into a vision that we cast. And that's what this pillar of prosperity is all about. So we use the power of imagination to move us. And when we do, when we move in our lives toward the vision that we are casting and prosper and impact the lives around us, know that it is that act, that first act even, that vision that we hold is never isolated. It's not an isolated act. Now, we understand that in terms of our teachings of co-creation, right? We can never be separated from the divine. So we are co-creating with the spirit within us, of course. But I also mean we cannot be isolated from one another. That the things that we choose to think, speak, and do affect everybody around us. And not even in our immediate environment, but in our entire realm, right? In the entire world and beyond, right? There is that kind of effect, that rippling out of whether we are in a broadcasting negativity or broadcasting positively, whatever kind of place we are in, that's what we are giving to the world. So it's a lot of responsibility, you know, to walk the talk, to walk these teachings. That's probably why our churches are not as filled as some of them that don't require as much personal responsibility on your spiritual journey, right? It's a little easier to receive and to have the authority tell you what to do. And I'm not saying this to be critical of others. I'm just saying those of you who find your way here because you are willing to take responsibility for your spiritual journey. And there are many people in many other churches who also are. But it is there is a kind of faith and vision and willingness to be in participation with what is happening in the world, not victim to it. So. We are interconnected. We are interdependent. That is probably the biggest shift in my own personal perception that has happened over the last couple of years is a bigger realization of that, of just how interconnected we are, of just how interdependent we are. I think the pandemic has been a big teacher of that, to realize that what I choose to do affects you and what you choose to do affects me. And how we move about this world together and how we heal together and how we co-create together makes a difference. Whether we participate or don't participate, whether we shut our ears and our hearts to the guidance we receive or we say yes to it even though I'm scared. You know, those are constant choices that are available to us in this walk. I grew up in the Chicago area, and in the 1930s, a Greek-American, Leo Stefano, lived there. And his son, his name was Michael, and Leo was really concerned about his son because whenever the ice cream truck came along, Michael would just split from wherever he was and chase it. Anybody do that growing up? Did you have the ice cream truck around? Yeah, I did that too. In fact, my best friend Julie McGill and I had a little song about that, but I won't. I don't remember exactly how it went, but we happened to have a coffee can that we were playing with when the ice cream truck came, and so we made up this song about we're going to catch the ice cream man in a coffee can. So I don't. That just popped in. It's like you never know what's going to come in, right? Anyway, back to Leo Stefano's story. So he was so worried about his son's safety, right? They were in the, you know, city streets of Chicago, which had their own kind of busyness at that time, and he was worried about his son's safety. And so instead of being fearful and isolating his son and pulling him in and constricting his life and constricting his joy, he thought of a way to meet Michael in his desire. He said, I'll make an ice cream bar. So he made an ice cream bar at home that Michael loved. It was a big hit with the family, and then it became a big sensation. It's called the Dove Bar. Anybody ever had a Dove ice cream bar? Yeah, pretty good. So then that expanded from there into sweet shops around the Chicagoland area. So there was chocolate as well as the ice cream bars. And his son, Michael, continued the business. So in 1977, when Leo made his transition, his son opened it up to the world. So it went expanded through the generations and through the spirit of prosperity that his son was touched by into a worldwide sensation that is now owned by the Mars Company. You just never know, right? Where an idea, even something that causes us fear, that we can respond in such a way that we can create that kind of prosperity. But wait, there's more. So yesterday, well, first let me tell you, remind you, last week I was telling you about Brenly and I had this realized dream of moving to California from the Midwest, right? And so as a little girl, I just had kind of in my mind, California, this magical land I wanted to go to. And finally, you know, we made that move. So yesterday, I'm writing this talk on vision. And I just have to keep saying, you can't make this stuff up. And I pop in my mouth without even thinking a Dove chocolate, right? And then as I'm finishing it, like crumpling the thing up, I remember, oh, inside the wrapper, there's always a little message, right? So I had to piece it together because I'd already split it apart in my zest to eat the chocolate. And the quote was by a woman named Joanne California. And the quote was this, "Be the sculptor of your own dreams." Yeah. So I am so grateful that Leo Stefano, this man I never met, whose name never crossed my lips until yesterday when I looked up his history, that he lived. And that he lived, you know? That he grabbed a hold of what seemed like a problem and turned it into an opportunity that prospered in various ways, right? That he chose to respond to that problem with a prosperous idea. He chose to respond to it with something sweet, literally, and something that, you know, was good for the soul, right? I think chocolate's good for the soul. Do you think chocolate's good for the soul? Yeah. Actually, in my teenage years, I worked in my dad's factory, which was also a realized dream of his own, and it was really close to the Dove factory, so it was a much better smell to notice the aroma of chocolate in the air than the automotive parts factory. But those two dreams intertwined, right? So my point is, well, there are multiple points, some of which I've already made, but one of them is that that our lives are intertwined, that we don't create in isolation, that who knew Leo Stefano's life would intertwine with mine in such a way that it would intertwine now with the message that I'm sharing with you today and might feel the impact of it for yourself as well, right? That's prosperity in action. That's the expansion of ideas and vision and fruition and putting our feet to the prayers of our lives, to putting our feet to the guidance that comes into our lives, to allow purposeful action to occur out of that, and then to never even know the ripple effect of the things that we chose to do and the ways that we chose to speak and the ways that we chose to act and the gratitude that we might have held in our hearts and the ways that we could bump up against an obstacle or a challenge in our life and see it instead as an opportunity to give something. That's what we're about when we vision. That's what we're about. But to remember, too, that we are not alone is important. So what dreams are you sculpting? What are you shaping with your life right now? What is something that might be stirring in your heart that you haven't quite said yes to? Especially those things that come round and around, right? I would like to be more like this. I would like to do this. I would like to create this. I would like to become this. I would like to show up this way. I would like to express my heart. I would like to say how I feel. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. It wasn't for Leo. It was like, I'm making an ice cream bar for my son, you know? Period. That's all that was happening there. But it obviously, there was much more happening. If you don't know the vision for your life, David Owen Ritz, the author and spiritual teacher, says, look at your life. That's the vision. You are living the vision for your life. You envisioned that life. You stepped into that life. If you don't like it, create another vision. There's an opportunity to keep on creating and recasting. And, you know, sometimes the visions of our life come out of our dreams, come out of our imaginations, and sometimes they come out of an innate guidance we don't understand. And we just say, okay, I'm supposed to go left instead of right. I'm supposed to go there instead of there, right? I'm supposed to say this now or do this now. And so we have that sense, that innate sense, even though we may not see the vision yet, as my friend Craig used to always say, we pray for guidance and we demand revelation. But, you know, revelation might not be what we need right then. It might just be a little nudge in the right direction. It might be if we saw the whole picture, we'd go, no, I can't. It's too big, you know. So it's that allowing. The world needs you. The world needs your dreams. The world needs your visions because nobody can quite dream them or vision them like you. That's what makes you a unique soul expression. So I just didn't know what I didn't know. Like we all on this journey, right? We don't know what we didn't know yesterday until we know it. And then when we know it, that is prosperity too. We step into a bigger kind of container that opens up greater knowing, deeper knowing, right? And then we step into that one, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. That's the journey of faith. And that's that foundation. It's not like we lay the foundation once, and then we go, okay, that's good. You know, we lay it, and we like sort of keep working it, right? I'm thinking about our, in our backyard, there's a cement patio, and it has a roof over the top that has pillars that are now tilting. And it's like, uh-oh, the pillars are tilting, you know? You can't have that. And it's because of the foundation. There's some rotten wood under the foundation. So we got to keep vigilant, right? We got to keep noticing where there's rotten wood under the pavement, so to speak, of our faith and go, oh, okay, that's something I need to shore up. I need to go within. I need to go inside of that and shore that up, center that, erect that pillar, make it strong so that my vision can arise out of that place with clarity, with ease, with something, you know, that I know what to follow. So those obstacles that come in our lives, it's not like, you know, the spiritual, I think sometimes our teachings can be misunderstood as too Pollyanna or believing that, oh, you know, everything is always happy clappy all the time, right? And so, yes, we do like that vision, right? We do like to experience that joy and to live in that kind of celebration. And there is, life is has stuff in it, right? It's going to have obstacles. It's going to have challenges. It's going to have pain. That's part of Earth School. So recognizing that we are also in the world, we are also experiencing the world. We don't have to be fully of it, as Jesus said, but we are in it. And so we are in it, and there are going to be things that come along that have opportunities for us to grow, opportunities for us to expand. So we want to be able to meet those things. We want to be able to see through those obstacles to what can be. It doesn't matter if the obstacle is a small annoyance or a big irritation or a really big thing, like a terrorist attack. You know, all of these things are there for us to deal with, not for us to turn away and go, that's not about me, because we are, remember, all connected. We're all one. And so when we do that, we hurt ourselves. Instead, we look, and it's hard, right? Who wants to look at another mass shooting? I don't. And who wants to recognize that this last one that happened last week was pure hatred, based only on a difference of how much melanin is in the skin? It's bizarre. It's absurd. It's difficult, right? And we're not in Buffalo. And it didn't happen to us. And it didn't happen to our family, maybe. And so we have the option to go, I don't want to look. Or to say, you know what? We're all one. We're all interconnected. I have something to do with this too. I have a way, my way, of stepping in and helping to heal. There is a vision here for me. There is a call for me here. There is a possibility for me here to make a difference. What will it be? We might not know at this point. But maybe we can just first begin with recognizing the oneness, that we are one with the 10 black people who were shot while they were grocery shopping. That we are one with the people who were around that area who experienced that trauma and carry that trauma now with them, or who were injured by it in some physical way as well. We are one with the heartbreak that those families are going through. We are one with this age-old pain. And until we say enough, and we're in it together, and I am going to walk toward that vision with my siblings and my parents and my children that are part of one human family, we will never heal. Amen. And we're here to heal. The tomb of death is a womb of life. Right? It's an opportunity again and again, and there are sacrifices made that just shouldn't have to be made, right? That we don't want to happen. And they happen. And then what, right? So then what? In their names, by their namesake, we say their names, we feel their names, and then we say, what is mine to do? How can I heal? How can I help? How can I help all of us move to a vision that we might cast together that is a vision of harmony, a vision of joy, a vision of freedom? How about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? How about equality? You know, these things are foundational to who we are. And so it is ours to move our feet toward the vision we cast together. We envision a world at unity where all life thrives in conscious oneness. It is ours, then, as a part of this community, to move our feet toward the realization of that vision in whatever ways our feet are guided, which might be different for Casey and Don and me and Irene. You know, each of us will have our own way through that process. So it is for us to allow ourselves, as Agape founder Michael Beckwith says, to be pushed by pain until we are pulled by a vision. And so the pain will keep pushing us because we are in a collective, a global spiritual awakening time that is acute. You know, you can feel that, right? Through this whole pandemic, through the waking up of many of us white folk to the depth of the racial issues, the depth of the pain, the depth of, well, how can we even know the depth of the pain? I can't speak at that place. But to recognize, right, the greater recognition, the greater opening of our consciousness. And so we get pushed, and whatever pain is happening in your life or comes up, you know, the loss of a loved one, that pain will push us until we step into the vision. And then it's the energy is the pull of the vision, right? It's no longer the push, but it's the pull. And that's the movement that we want to make on our spiritual journey. That it's not that pain won't come. It's Earth School. Again, it's going to come. Challenges are going to come. Obstacles are going to come. They're all there for our growth. But if we have that those bigger visions that we keep casting, that's what we live into. And then that pulls us into purposeful action. That pulls us into what is mine to step into, what is mine to do, what is mine to embody, what is mine to, how is it that I am meant to be, to show up and to co-create whatever it is. You know, Chronicles is one of the least read books in the Bible for good reason. It's a long genealogy of Hebrew names. So unless you're looking for a specific Hebrew name, I'm not sure what anybody would get out of reading it. Except that in chapter 4, buried in that chapter, is two verses that tells the story of a young man named Jabez. And he's not mentioned ever again, before or after. So you just kind of have to find this hidden gem. Now, Jabez was named Jabez by his mother, and his name means pain. And his mother named him that because she bore him in pain. And Jabez looks around at his world, and he says, "Oh no, oh no. I'm not going to stick with this. I'm not, you know, this is not the namesake I'm going to live. I'm not going to be somebody who walks around in the world as pain, causing pain, being pain. No, thank you, right? I would be quick to change my name too, huh?" He doesn't actually change his name as far as we know, but spiritually he does, right? Because what he does then when he recognizes is he cries out with this prayer. This is his prayer. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil so that I may not cause pain." My favorite line in this is, "enlarge my territory," right? It is an invitation to the divine within us. Take me away from that pain, let that pain push me forward into the vision of an enlarged understanding and territory of the divine that can be known through me, expressed through me, co-created through me, and brought forth, right? So that is what he is calling for. And he is also saying, you know, expand my consciousness from a place that doesn't get into this place of, he says, evil, let's say error thinking, lack thinking, limited thinking, these kinds of ways that constrict energy, right? That box it in, that keep it stagnant, that push it down, that keep us small. That's the kind of energy that we don't want, right? So keep me from that, because what happens when we get into those boxes, right? When we get into that place of lack and limitation and there's not enough and ain't it awful and blah, 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 blah. And then we go, well, I'm in pain, so I'm going to project my pain out on somebody. Let me find a group that's different from me. Okay, there. Then now I'm going to otherize my pain. Now I'm going to get so rabid about it that I'm going to radicalize myself and others, and I'm going to take up arms and commit violence, outward anger and violence, because the pain inside of me was something I couldn't look at. I couldn't embrace. I couldn't allow. I couldn't allow it and then go, oh no, I want my territory to be enlarged. But we can, because we can see it, right? So we can allow ourselves to hold the kind of space for these young white men who have lost their way. These boys who have taken on, for whatever reason, the namesake of pain and lived in it and lived in this place of not enough, you know, this crazy, well, sorry, replacement theory thing, right? That there's not enough for me, so I have to act in these ways that are horrific to the rest of society because it's so painful for me to worry about not enough for me. But if only breaking out of that shell into an enlarged territory, you realize there's plenty for all. Who knew? There's a whole heaven on earth. There's a whole nother room. There's a whole nother life. There's a whole nother way of being if we would just open the hearts of our hearts and open our minds, right? And let spirit flow. There's not a lot to do here. This isn't complicated. This isn't hard even, right? It's just like, open up. That's it. Open up and let it flow. It's already here. It's already here. Jesus said, you keep saying, you know, it's many months to the harvest. Open your eyes. It's ripe for harvest right now. Right now. You know, it's like he wanted to shake his disciples away. Come on, you guys. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Open your mind. It's right here. Step in. Stop trying to look away and do all these antics. Stop getting in these little tiny boxes of not enough. There is plenty for all. And we can be the proponents of that liberty and life and equality and joy for all, opportunity for all. Or we can be the ones who help construct the barriers and the obstacles. We are our own best teachers, right? We know where we need to learn. We know where our rough edges are. So go learn. Go smooth out those rough edges. Go teach yourself. There is no shortage of information out there, right? Right? So we have no excuses except for our own desire to stay in a small box that we call safe, but that has nothing to do with safety. And so it is the creation of safety that says we're in it together, and I've got all these folks to walk with me. I've got all these people to support my dreams and my vision, as well as the collective direction we are going to bring forth that hope on the horizon that Reverend Queen Michelle just sang about. And here's an important statement at the end of Jabez's story. The last line says, "And God granted his request." Right? The fulfillment of our prayers, the answer to our prayers. It's all there because we participate in the energy that says yes. If we participate in the energy that says, nope, you don't have enough, you're not enough, it's too small, it's too big, or whatever that fear is that gets us in that space, then we won't go to that place. But if we can just open up, even if it's just a little bit, and let a little bit of love out and a little bit of light in, right? And the whole thing begins to flow as the law of circulation does in prosperity. As we give, so we receive. So let's, instead of every time, because I know you're going to hear this a lot in the next few days and probably already have, every time you hear replacement theory, let's all do this. Every time we hear replacement theory or read it or whatever, let's cast our replacement vision. Yeah? Yeah, right? So every time we hear those words, we're going to say, oh, that's my reminder to cast my replacement vision. And what do I see in my replacement vision? We'll all see something a little bit different, but it'll feel something like this. It'll feel something like joy. It'll feel something like flow. It'll feel something like prosperity. It'll feel something like celebration. It will feel something like kindness and respect and love and support. It'll come to us and through us and as us, and it will go to the people that we are with and the people across the world. It'll go to the people that are in war-torn places right now. It'll go to places where children are really afraid because they are being mistreated, or adults or animals. You know, whatever it is that needs the light, that needs the love, it will flow forth. That vision. I'm seeing scared children coming out of little corners of their homes into a field of love that we've created. I'm seeing hands being held and people feeling the support, right? Of knowing that we can all walk toward a whole new vision of a whole new world together if we just open up. Just open up. That's it. Just open up and let it flow. So, where do we go from here, right? What do we do from here? Just that, right? Opening up to the times when our hearts are stirred by sadness. Opening up by the times that we witness things that we don't want to have happen. And instead of going into full-on resistance mode, we just go, okay, there it is, right? As Maya Angelou always said, whatever happens, just say thank you. First response, right? Thank you. Thank you. Because the thank you is letting us know there is an opportunity here. There is prosperity in this difficulty. There is a blessing in here. There's a pony in here somewhere, right? And so it's our charge to find the pony, to let the pony emerge. So let's really hold the vision that we hold as a community together, and then we'll, in our own ways, make it come into fruition, right? So that vision that we hold for the world is we envision a spiritually awakened world where all life thrives in conscious oneness. And so if we let ourselves be pulled by that community vision, then our own purposeful action will be clarified from there. So let's say it together. Let's know this together. I envision a world where all life thrives in conscious oneness. I am pulled by this community vision into my purpose. And so it is.